dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello there, SVC fans, and welcome in to episode number 217 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I'm indeed Bruce Knox, one of your hosts for this evening or for today, whenever you happen to be listening. And we appreciate you listening in. Again, we're brought to you by the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, all kinds of fun under one roof. Located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. They are, in fact, open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You'll find all kinds of good eats there, all kinds of things to do and fun games to play and so forth. You can call them, rather, at 740-773-7529. And, of course, for detailed information, look them up on the web at www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. And now, as you know from listening to our program, I normally introduce our hosts. I'm going to bring in Mr. SVC Sports Zone himself, Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how are you?
Oh, doing great, Bruce. I think we have a great show ahead of us tonight. Looking forward to it.
Well, and there's good news and bad news with respect to Mr. Derek Webb. As you all may know, those of you that follow this show, those of you that have followed his career in the press and so forth at the Chillicothe Gazette, Derek is in the midst of relocating. The good news is that it is in the works that he will continue to join us throughout the spring here. The bad news is, however, that tonight he was, in fact, unpacking his U-Haul, even as we speak, and was not going to be able to join us for this particular episode, but we hope to have him back in future episodes throughout the spring here. Beyond that, I think it's a crapshoot right now. We don't know what we're going to do. But Shane, we had a couple things that you wanted to address before we got into the meat here of the podcast. First was, in fact, Derek's departure from the Chillicothe area, and I kind of let you pick that up.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a couple comments for Derek. One, to just tell him how thankful I have been and continue to be for what he does for SVC and Chillicothe area and just our student athletes and our schools in general. It's amazing the effort that he's put into it. And I think most of the feedback's been really, really positive. There's been a couple people kind of questioning him leave a second time. And I guess, Bruce, for me, it kind of rubs me the wrong way just a little bit. I think that's really unfair of people. I guess my reasoning there is when you are in his line of work and you're very talented at it and it's something that you want to do long term, becomes very, very difficult to do in small town Chillicothe, Ohio. I think that particular job to grow in it a lot of times calls for the bigger market. I'll be honest, I was shocked when he had come back the first time. Mm-hmm. I think that he was just in a point in his life where he had just a little bit more time to spare or so forth and before moving forward. And, now he's a little bit more to a situation where I think he's ready to go. I think he learned a lot from the experience of moving the first time and seems to have an opportunity to really have something there he likes. But I would challenge just about any adult to say in their line of work when they were just getting started or really in the early parts of their career to think that if they had an opportunity that was a major, major financial and benefit package opportunity to move that they wouldn't seriously think about it. I even got thinking about Mike Smith a little bit. Mm-hmm. In his line of work. I've always said, I don't know Mike well enough to know all of his personal details when he was first getting started. But I do know, obviously, he's has a lot of family or has family in the area there and he has background there in the Frankfurt community. And I've always felt very fortunate that we've kept him at WKKJ all these years, mm-hmm. because, you know, I think a lot of his family life and his personal situations have allowed him to make that work. Obviously, professionally, his talent goes far beyond calling high school basketball games for the SVC. Luckily for us, that's kind of what he's wanted to do and has been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
That was just something that made me think. But I just think that when you're in journalism, a lot of times the Chillicothe Gazette serves a very, very positive purpose for our community. But in terms of its financial capabilities, it makes it very difficult for someone that's just the lone sports reporter to kind of make a 20, 30 year career and expect someone to do. That's a little bit unfair, I think.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, only Derek can make those decisions. Derek, with the help of his family and you know, what he wants for his life and so forth. So I only wish Derek the best, and I certainly understand it, but I'm like everybody else. I'm, you know, wishing there was some way that he could stick around and achieve what he's going to achieve out there in Illinois again. And, you know, what he has described to me, what he's described to us, you know, I just don't think he could pass it up. And I talking with him, I knew he was going to, he stood prepared to take the good and the bad about leaving. And I just wish there was, you know, hopefully someday, maybe things change, something changes, and, you know, he makes his way back to this area, because we will certainly miss him. It was obvious from reading, you know, his Facebook posts, his Twitter comments and so forth back to him, that a lot of people feel this way. And, you know, Derek has to do what's best for Derek in the long run. And he's not, you know, it's not his job. It's not his responsibility to do everything that he's done, but he sure has done a whale of a job while he's been here. The other topic that you kind of wanted to address was the non-renewal, I guess, of Dave Shoemaker as the coach at PV of their basketball team. You're kind of in a between a rock and a hard place with respect to that being where you are employed as well. But I think you have some valid issues or valid things there to say, and I thought I'd let you do that as well.
Well, yeah, I was actually going to let Derek comment a little bit more from the media side if he was wanting to. I guess for me, I don't really know enough of exactly what's going on. You know how these situations are. You hear a lot of hearsay, mm-hmm. and I'm certainly not going to comment on hearsay. If there was more general questions or exact questions sent to me, I might be more open-minded to doing that. What I will comment on is just Dave Shoemaker himself. Mm-hmm. You know, Dave's someone that I go way back. He was coaching the first time through at Paint Valley when I played at Uniota. Was always very respectful to me. He's actually one of the main reasons I'm at Paint Valley today. I can remember being 18, 19 years old, and working for the county, and I happened to run into him out in Bourneville one day. And said that they were looking for a varsity assistant basketball coach. And next thing you know, I was hired and was assistant varsity coach with Joe Weiskopf. And then the next 6 years or so, I stayed as the varsity assistant with Craig Kearns. And in the middle of that, it led to a teaching position for me. And, I was a 2-year head coach at Paint Valley in the boys basketball program. So all totaled there, I was probably, 7, 8, 9 years in the boys basketball program at Paint Valley. And, you know, I owe a lot of that to Dave. And, Dave's someone that I think does a good job as a basketball coach. These things are real, real unfortunate. Anytime it happens to a colleague, I know I get a little empty spot in my stomach, because I know it happened to me 5 or 6 years ago. I was fired at one board meeting, and luckily for me, I was hired back at another in terms of as a coach. But it's an empty feeling. I don't know enough about the comments to comment directly on it, so that would be unprofessional for me to do that. Have a high level of respect for Paint Valley and the role it's played in my adult life over the last 20 years. So I would never say anything that against them. I love those people to death. But at the same time, I do think of Dave Shoemaker as a friend, and I hate it for him. And you know, moving forward, you know, you hope it can work out for everybody involved.
All right. Well, it has been a good week as far as the weather is concerned, and good weather means more action on the diamonds and in the track, on the track, and so forth. What are some of the takeaways from this week for you?
Well, I think over on the baseball side, the takeaways was, you know, it was the first time where you had a lot of games being played. And what that meant was you started getting deeper and deeper into your pitching staff. The mm-hmm. pitching, the pitch count rule started to take over quite a bit. So what you started to see is a lot of scoring go up. You started to see offense take over just a little bit more at times compared to in earlier situations. Softball, I don't know if that's quite the case as much for reasons that we've documented on the show the first couple of weeks. But, you know, in terms of one of my biggest takeaways, I'm still really intrigued by SVC track and what Paint Valley could possibly do again this year. You know, Uniota, you know, Zane Trace could be factors. There's a couple individuals sprinkled throughout the five other teams. I don't think those five teams could be serious contenders. A couple of their lead athletes can always dictate a couple races in terms of moving Paint Valley, Uniota, Zane Trace points up or down. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's, what Paint Valley's showing the ability to do is really intriguing. And then same way on the girls' side there, you know, just I think we have some really elite individuals right now with Mohan here at Uniota. I saw where Cammy Chandler's really putting up some incredible numbers and some of her events. So as we get the ability to follow track a little bit more, I think that could be really interesting.
All right. With respect to baseball and softball, or I guess baseball particularly, are you kind of surprised that offense is impacting the top of the standings more than pitching? You kind of alluded to it a little bit ago.
Well, I guess I am, Mo. You know, you still expect certain matchups and certain pitchers to kind of lend itself to, you know, runs being a little harder to come by. Mm-hmm. But it's just really interesting. I guess in baseball, a lot of times we say, and I think softball would even be the same thing. The more times you see somebody, the advantage starts to go from the pitcher over to the offense. And I think that not only is true within one game or within one season, sometimes that could be true over the course of a career. You know, once you've seen someone, maybe the intimidation or a little bit of that fear or confidence or whatever it is starts to go away, and you at least know what to expect. And it's just it's interesting to see certain games take on a 2-1 feel. And then another game comes where you think, okay, this is going to be at 2-1, 3-2 type thing. We'll take Zane Trace Uniota, for example, the other night. That breaks out into an 11-10 game. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, gosh, I didn't see an official box score, but just trying to follow some of the reports there, I want to say the two teams combined to use what, 6-7 different pitchers. So, I mean, it was, that was kind of unique. But no, offense has certainly picked up here, and naturally the ball's going to carry a little bit and jump off the bat a little bit more as the weather warms too. I certainly think you get into some different pitching matchups and so forth. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised that offense is impacting it a little bit more. And then on the softball side, we've talked about the Westfall offense, it seems like, every week.
Right.
That offense is unreal in what they've been able to do. I know Cameron Alexander there, Piketon, hit her seventh home run, I think it was, of the spring yesterday. So obviously we have some really capable hitters in our league, both baseball and softball. So I guess it shouldn't surprise you, but I guess sometimes when certain names are on the mound, you just think that runs are going to be hard to come by, and that's baseball. Some nights they will be, but other nights they, you know, they might just not have their best stuff.
All right, let's move into our spring segment. This is something that we've instituted this year in the spring here, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. I do hope that people availed themselves to some hitting the white ball around this past, I guess it was Saturday and Friday. Might have been a little windy, but I'm sure some diehard people were out there. They're located at 9500 U.S. Highway 22 in Williamsport. Again, give them a call, 740-986-4653, and they'll make it worth your while to make the trip up there. We kind of center this spring segment about what makes spring so unique. And we kind of wanted to talk a little bit about scheduling. You know, Shane, that it's got to be kind of shorter and quicker to reschedule and reshuffle the deck a little bit. Smallest things magnified unlike any other sport.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if you followed through the media this week. The OHSA is looking to now extend the baseball season a week next year, and a lot of people think that's long overdue. But you know, in this segment here, we're always looking to say what makes spring so unique. What makes it so different from these other sports that maybe people don't follow as much in the spring? And I think the small schedule is one of the things. You know, we open on the last Saturday, usually the last Saturday or real close to it this year. I think it was the 24th of March. And then by the time you get to the end of April here, you're into your sectional draw and playing sectionals, you know, as early part of May. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just not, you know, you play a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You play a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and before you know it, we're recording on a Sunday, and tomorrow night is the seventh league game, and you're going to start back over Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't take very long where, you know, a lot of times, you know, you do go through the 10-week grind of football. You do go through in basketball, you might play, what, 3-4 games sometimes before Christmas break. You may take 4 or 5 weeks off. You take almost a spring season off over the holidays just before you get back into league play. So it is. It's unique, and it's quick. It's one of those things where I know we have a couple kids dealing with injuries in our baseball program, and you know, I've been real concerned for them, and I've been in total contact with doctors and their parents, and you know, I understand where they're coming from. That, you know, the doctor's saying they need to rest for 2 weeks. They're looking at me thinking, I don't want to lose my spot, coach. If starting tomorrow, I rest 2 weeks, that's basically the rest of the year.
Yeah.
In terms of league play. So, you know, I'm respectful to that, because I know when I was 16, 17 years old, I'd have felt the same way. Obviously, you're never going to put a kid in danger of hurting himself more, but it is something that, you know, you are aware of. It's tough. So it is. It's unique. It's interesting to see the sore arms, the sore legs. You'll go with weather, you know, you'll go 3-4 days and maybe not get to play, and then all of a sudden you may play 5 games in a 4-day stretch. And as you also throw in, we'll talk about this maybe in a segment, some other things that have come up in this segment. You're going to start to deal with proms on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I know prom got rescheduled at Paint Valley. Well, now we're scheduled to play. We at least moved the doubleheader up to 10 and noon at the VA this Saturday. Yeah, prom. You know, you'll start to see, okay, there's no track meets, or you're not going to have a doubleheader, or you're not going to do this. Well, you know, throughout the spring, you may only have 5 or 6 Saturdays to play. You know, if you cancel one for prom, and you cancel one for the drama, and you cancel one for a band competition, and you cancel one for your schools, maybe like we have a 300 club there at Paint Valley. I know other schools do that reverse raffle type thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just a lot of things that get put into spring that become very difficult. So I do think the extra week will help. You know, with the Ohio weather and things like that, it's still going to be very unpredictable.
The weather would be the biggest thing. If someone could figure out just how to tame that, we wouldn't be here if we knew how to do that, would we? All right. Well, let's move along to our questions from the fans. This is brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment and Mile Tree Screen Print, located now at 233 Rennick Avenue in Chillicothe. You can give them a call at 740-774-3306. And both the C&K Athletic Equipment and Mile Tree Screen Printing have Facebook pages, which are pretty good at keeping up with what they have going on there. I mentioned last week that they had some videos there kind of showing their setup and everything, and that explains as well all the various things that they can do for you. A lot of interesting items coming out of there that they put examples of on Facebook. So look them up on Facebook and or give them a call and see if they can't help you out with whatever your needs are, either in athletic equipment or the Mile Tree screen printing. And they also do corporate wear as well as embroidery as well. So look them up. Well, in our questions from the fan, the first one says, you talk so much about Little League and other sports. What are your thoughts on Little League baseball? And then they also ask about junior high baseball and then throw in softball as well.
Yeah, Little League on the baseball side, they certainly do a lot of things correctly in my mind compared to other sports for sure. Just starting with the field itself, the dimensions and so forth. The more I work with kids, and I know sometimes with our athletes, by the time they get into the sixth grade, some of those diamonds start to get pretty small. Mm-hmm. I think right now at the junior high level, we really struggle where we're losing kids is – you know, a lot of boys especially still are not physically mature. They're getting out there on that diamond, that big diamond, and they're having some of the trouble, you know, making the throws or you know, pitching from the bigger distance or running the bases at the bigger distance. You know, I know there for a while we had some fields, and I know some of the travel ball does use some of the middle distances. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, a mound might be around a 50 or 54, a base might be a 75 or so forth. I think that's very, very valuable because I do think sometimes where we seem to lose kids is I feel like sometimes we play too much baseball at the Little League level. You know, the Little Leagues will have their things and they'll have tournaments and then kids will go do this or they'll join this travel team or they'll play this all-star tournament or, you know, and I do question sometimes if we play too much baseball at the younger levels. But as you get into junior high, we probably don't play enough, mm-hmm. you know, because you get into situations, it's a club sport and, you know, a lot of times they can only play on Sundays or where they'll try to squeeze some games in throughout. But like here it is today, there's no way any junior high teams played in Southeast Ohio today. You know, so unless it was at the VA or something, but you know, it's tough. So what happens is kids get in, they get a little bit more intrigued by track. Track's new. Track supported by the school far more. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's a different dynamic. I know softball is growing, but I know softball is really starting to balance club volleyball, AAU basketball. I know I have a young lady in class that does just about all of those. You know, several of our athletes on the ladies' side there. I know many of our schools are involved in about three or four different things right now. You know, they might run some events in track. They might play for the softball team. They might be on a club volleyball team. They might even join a team and go play an AAU basketball tournament. It's crazy. But I do think baseball does it a little bit better than other sports, at least at the younger levels. We still probably just have to figure out a little bit more of the middle school level and what we want to do. And like anything, you hope you have good people making decisions on pitchers and in terms of how much they're throwing, what kind of pitches are they throwing. And you know, we probably still have a lot of coaches that use a little bit too much of some Little League and junior high base running to an extent that probably doesn't teach the game the right way. But, you know, you're going to have those things in a lot of different sports. I think overall, when I see what's going on at Side of Valley down at Mary Lou Patton, and I see we just had an opportunity to go out the other day and work with our kids in Bainbridge. Our varsity kids went out and did that. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was so much fun. I know the Huntington Little League out there has improved tremendously over the years. I think there's a lot of things that are being done the correct way. Certainly, there's always going to be room for more and more fundamentals. teaching kids how to bunt, teaching kids how to swing properly and so forth. But if you can get kids involved and have them really enjoy the game, I think that'll help grow the game of baseball even more and more. But we certainly have to figure out how to bridge them from the sixth grade to their freshman year, because we're losing too many kids in the middle.
All right. This next question you've already kind of hit upon, but it kind of throws a different twist here in at the end of the question. I'll ask it and then we'll talk more about it. Thoughts on baseball season being extended in 2019? You mentioned that. And first, you know, what do you think the impact of that will be? Then, as a result, should we change our makeup policy in the SVC?
Well, I think the impact is kind of simple. You know, it's kind of, you think it's almost obvious that you would think more and more teams in Southeast Ohio will get closer, or in Ohio for, in general, for that matter, mm-hmm. will get closer to 27 games played.
Yeah.
I've said over and over and over, I know that's one thing that Ron Allen taught me as a young coach and some other coaches of, hey, you got to get out there and play. If you want to sell your program and get your kids better, they got to play. You can't have a program that only plays 18, 19, 20 games a year. You got to get out there and play your 27. Be aggressive in your scheduling. And I've really tried to apply that to my program over the last decade. And, you know, most years we certainly get our 24, 25, 26, 27 in the regular season because we try really hard to do that. So I guess the first impact, Bruce, would be that with that extra time, you would think more and more teams would have the time to do that. Mm-hmm. As far as our SVC policy, yeah, I think we could be a little bit more open-minded in that sometimes. You know, we've had a long-standing – a lot of people don't understand that this is league-adopted through our principals, through our schools voting, and so forth. This is in our bylaws. I know we get a lot of junior high and JV parents that, like, crucify varsity coaches because they think we just canceled JV games for no reason.
Right.
And that's not true at all. You know, these are rules of moving games and canceling this game or rescheduling the next night or whatever it might be. These are things that are already written in place that have nothing to do with us. With the extra week, I don't know if you could possibly take a look at maybe going to one night instead of the mandatory next night. So, like, mm-hmm. if you say, you know, some conferences I know say, like, a Thursday night's going to be a makeup night, so you can still keep your non-league game on Tuesday. So, like, a lot of people are going to rain out tomorrow night, which would be Monday night.
Yeah, or snow out. Yeah.
yeah. So, like, a lot of people are going to lose that game. Our league rule, Bruce, says you have to play it Tuesday night no matter what.
Right.
Where some conferences say, okay, we're going to use Thursday night as that. Now, you can certainly have your Thursdays add up, though, can't you? You know what I mean?
You can really
get pushed back, and then they could rain out. So I understand why the SVC does it. I just wonder maybe in the second half of the season you could put a clause in there that says if you are not behind – you have the option to move it to the Thursday night and set it. Like, if let's say both schools had a Tuesday night non-league game, but they're off on Thursday. I know you play with fire there with weather changing later in the week too. Here's the other thing I would throw out there. I know we have people from outside the SVC that listen to our show each week, which I think is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I always like to give a shout out to them. I would love to get some feedback from some of our listeners down in the Portsmouth area. I know. One up from the Circleville area. I would love to get their feedback on, would you be in favor of, no matter how you play your conference games, of getting conferences to become a little bit more uniform in their scheduling throughout? One thing we run into in Southeast Ohio, Bruce, is like we play a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Well, other people might play like a Monday, Tuesday, or a Thursday, Friday, or they'll hold, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it's just so random that, like, if you lose a game, like, I know we lost a game the very first week with a team, mm-hmm. and we still can't find the night to play each other. I just wonder if we would get together with this extension and say everyone's going to kind of adopt a more uniform league schedule. That way we would be a little bit more on the same in terms of freeing up to reschedule, because it's not just us. It's everybody. I know I will give the SVC credit. Rarely do we go to the SVC draw where we don't have the most games played. You know, I would put the SOC up there with us, but, you know, it is so hard to fairly rank teams in a sectional drawing when one team is 12 and 10 and the other team is like 7 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's just hard. You know what I mean? Like I think that the week is going to help. I don't know that the week's going to solve all of our problems, but anytime you have a problem, if you're given an entire extra week, I don't see how it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
So I certainly think the impact is a positive one, but I think that I think the leagues and some of the schools need to continue to attack this problem to get the softball and the baseball kids an opportunity to have a full season. Because I always say, and I know I'm a spring coach being biased, I always say, how many times your football team playing 8 games?
Right.
How many times your basketball team going to play 17 games? Not very often. You know what I mean? So, you know, I want to go to bat and I want to give my kids, hey, if you want to be a varsity baseball player at Paint Valley or whatever, I'm going to do my best to give you an opportunity every year to play 27 games in a tournament.
When I first heard about the OHSAA's decision to do that, my first reaction was, well, it's only 7 days. But when you start thinking about, let's say, what is it, something like 10 weeks that you've got, so it was an increase of 10% in the size of the season, if you will, or something like that. So it is substantial. And I think maybe we should, take advantage of it if you can, and maybe play around with some. Of course, you know.
Well, like I said, you start like this week. You played the last week of March.
Right.
You play all of April. You play about a week into May, and you're basically starting into some sectional tournaments there. So,
yeah.
It's tight. So you give 6-7 more days. I would think people on average would at least get 2-4 more games in a year, which I think would really be a positive step for the sport.
All right. Well, again, we'd like to hear your feedback about this change anyway. So let us know. We'll hit you up with the contact information here shortly. So let's move along to our 3 up, 3 down.
Yeah. Let's brought to our fans by Crown Hill Golf Club, as always. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. Bruce kind of talked about it earlier. We're starting to get a little bit of weather that allows us to get out there. And I know I don't always get a chance to do that till after the season, but I look forward to getting a chance to do that as well. And I know I'm already set to play up at Crown Hill Golf Club a couple times. So, again, give them a call, 740-986-4653. Tell them SVCSportsZone.com and the boys from SVC Sports Talk sent you. So basically, I guess, Bruce, I should say real quick, without Derek, I'll be flying solo. I'll do my very best to include a variety of answers, softball, baseball, track when asked, in our 3 up, 3 down. So let's go ahead and get going with it.
Take pitching out of the mix and name a player who has had the best first half offensive season.
Well, I tell you, I mean, even though it is a pitcher, I think if on the softball side, gosh, it would be hard not to look at Alexander there at Piketon. And don't get me wrong, she's certainly supported in that lineup with the likes of Smith and Conley and Henderson. I know had a big day the other day, but you look at what Alexander's doing. I think has hit her 7th home run and leading her team to the Pike County Championship the other day. So that's pretty impressive. Certainly don't want to take anything away from the depth of the Westfall lineup. I know Sammy Tackett had a big night the other night with Miner and Fulon and, you know, Stone Rock, Dudgeon and Robinson. I mean, goodness, you got to almost name their whole lineup. Uniota certainly has some kids with Pinkerton and Holt and Fisher and company, but Neff. But to me, when you look at a kid like Alexander, 7 home runs, I mean, that's a pretty impressive number. It's just that really can anchor a lineup. And then over on the baseball side, it's I think when you think offense, you almost have to go to Zane Trace, don't you? I mean, when you look at what they've been able to do, I think Isaac Beam is a name that comes to my mind. He's a kid that hits for power. He's such a tough out, hits to all fields. I know he had the two home runs the other night in a big win over Uniota, but they kind of like the Westfall softball lineup, Bruce. You can almost go down the lineup there with the way a Rittenhouse or a Chafin or Congrove or so forth. But certainly great hitters around our league. Certainly don't want to take away from what a Newton or Patterson or kids like that at Uniota do, but I think it's hard to look past Beam in the way that Zane Trace lineup can just flat hit 1-9.
Give the fans some elite defensive players to watch during the second round.
Well, I think this is a really fun question because I think what happens sometimes is, you know, it's hard to put in the box score. You know what I mean? We don't write as many spring articles or so forth. And so maybe if you don't get a chance to get out and see it, I think some of the catchers around the league deserve a lot of credit. I know there at Payne Valley, like with a McFadden, that's a team in the bottom half of the league that's all of a sudden coming on. She hit a couple home runs offensively this week, but they get two road wins, and you know they have an opportunity to play Zane Trace tomorrow night, and you know, maybe that's a third win for them in the first round. But I think when you look. When you look defensively, don't forget about that catcher position at all your schools. Whenever you see great pitching, I know Strahl's ball catching the freshman catcher there at Uniota, at Huntington with Kello on the mound in the circle there. Kara Strahl's ball comes to mind, but I also think. And in baseball, some of the center fielders can go and get it. I know the long kid there at Huntington can really play and can go and get it. I know you'll also see some kids at Edina. I know have some nice range. I was impressed with the Fogelsong kid at short the other night when I had a chance to see him. Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's a great question to really look at, and I would like to continue to find ways to highlight the defensive play a little bit more. So I would even challenge fans to when you see someone playing some great defense, make sure you send it in to us, and we'll try to highlight it more.
How do you see the SVC meet playing out in track for boys and girls?
Really, really interesting when you look, and it's so hard throughout the year because teams hide so many things. But you know, if you start to break down the numbers, I kind of talked about it in the opening a little bit. I'm really intrigued by the fact that Uniota Zane Trace and Paint Valley, I don't know that there's a whole lot of athletes at the other schools that are going to throw much of a wrinkle in where these people finish. Certainly a little bit of depth can always play a role, but I'm intrigued by what Paint Valley's been able to do. Out of all the sports, we've always said you'd think track would be the 100% enrollment sport, and when you look at Burton, you look at Ison, you look at Tyree, you look at Trent and Cockrell, and I'm probably even missing a few, but it starts to add up to where you're like, man, they're going to put Paint Valley right back in the position and really put a lot of pressure on Uniota and Zane Trace. And then over on the girls' side, I know Zane Trace's depth is usually really impressive. We'll see. Now, what you do have is you have a little bit more star power. We mentioned Chandler a little earlier. You do have a little bit more star power throughout a lot of the different schools. That can maybe throw in a little wrench there, but usually by the time you get to the SVC meet, it's pretty easy to pick out a team or two to watch for sure.
And that is our 3 Up, 3 Down, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call at 740-986-4653. Get up there and hit that white ball around. Be frustrated just like me. They're located at 9500 U.S. Highway 22 in Williamsport. During our 3 Up, 3 Down there, you may have heard my computer. I apologize for that. That won't happen again. They'll be firing me, Shane, if I don't apologize for that. Well, we mentioned earlier that we thrive on your feedback, and we would like to solicit any and all feedback, good or bad. And you can send that in for Shane. Email is probably the best way to get a hold of him. His email address is admin1@svcsportzone.com. can also hit him up on one of his two profiles on Facebook, and you can contact him as well on Twitter at svcsportzone.com. Now for Mr. Webb, Derek Webb, who will be with us again throughout the spring, or that is the plan at this point, if we can work everything together, he is at this point, email us, I do believe, because his old email account is going to be deactivated since it was at his former employee or former employer. And you could probably get to him in the interim by hitting him on Twitter at the verified account of at DW1509. He will continue to use that one, I'm told. So you can get a hold of him there. And we'll get you a new email address as soon as he gives it to us. A reminder again to subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, and you can also get us as well on Stitcher.com for those of you that don't use normal, well, I say normal, the mobile, the mobile podcatchers. If you're more of a PC type of person, I guess Stitcher has a mobile app as well, or you can just go to the DBK Media website and you can sign up there to receive an email notice each time we do publish an episode.
Hey, real quick, Bruce, too. Sure. The name just totally escaped me during
three up, three down.
The three up, three down, and yeah. It's completely unfair to leave the kid out on the defense. Of when I was talking center field, I mentioned Long of Huntington.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention Titan Williams of Westfall.
Okay.
That young man's name just completely, I was like having flashbacks of him robbing us of like four doubles in the gap at night, and I couldn't put a name on it. But no, that young man, he's a kind of a newcomer, new star in our league. Mm-hmm. He's terrific. Titan Williams of Westfall. If you haven't had a chance to see him play yet, he's dynamic. He's got a lot. He's a 4 or 5 tool player that can really play.
Maybe that was your mind treating you well since he robbed you of all those all those hits that night. Anyway, we're headed to post-game comments again brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment and Miles Tree Screen Printing, located at 233 Rennick Avenue in Chillicothe. Again, kind of in a state of flux as well. Look them up on Facebook where they have the two pages, and they've got all kinds of examples there of their wares and what they can do for you. And give them a call at 740-774-3306. Our final post-game comments goes around a question from a fan who said that they really enjoyed the Friday night at the VA, and they wonder, will the league consider doing this maybe as a regular thing and including a radio broadcast? What are your thoughts on that, Shane?
Well, to be honest, this has been something that's been discussed, I bet, for over a decade now. Gosh, maybe even further back. I kind of remember it being talked about almost before I was even a head coach, so maybe even 15 years. To be honest, the people who kind of are in the way of it is probably we, the coaches. You know, that sounds kind of crazy, but I think it's just it's hard to get everybody on the same page, because you'll have some coaches that are all in on it, mm-hmm. or other coaches are a little bit funny about giving up home games. Because keep in mind, to move to the VA, you obviously are going to lose
a home game.
A home game.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't really have the financial issues that it would in other sports or so forth. But, you know, some people just, you know, feel they're really built for their home field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they don't want to give up that. So, you know, it would be nice to try to get the radio more involved. I think the night game would be hard. I think it's very difficult to put the 5 o'clock game sometimes on the radio.
You get in the way of the news block, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a little bit trickier for people to do from what I've been told over the years. But, I think it would help the game a little bit. It would certainly help it grow, but, it's just, it takes some dynamic scheduling there in terms of getting the right game moved to a Friday night or getting it moved out there. And then, you know, what are you going to do with softball? Or are you going to try to give them some opportunity? They used to do the 5 and 7:30 double headers out there, mm-hmm. with softball, baseball. But then I think it just became such a difficult task to get the field up and down every night. And I think that, you know, in fairness to the Paints, they had trouble with their staffing, just getting that done. Mm-hmm. So these are things that have been talked about for a long time, but I think, it's just tougher and tougher. I think the opportunity to maybe someday have multiple ways to play under the lights, that could maybe help the game a little bit. But obviously that's a financial thing for it to actually be at someone's home field. So you could argue that you'll still run into the same problem of people, you know, wanting to, or not wanting to give up their ability to play on their home field. So I guess that's just kind of where you are. And I don't really know that there's a solution to it. You know, so, that's kind of where we stand with that. It's a great idea. I think it would do nothing but grow the game. So that's the frustrating part, because I do think it would help. But I just don't know that you're going to have everybody on board in terms of moving forward to try to do that. So that's kind of where we're at with it. I'd love to hear feedback from fans on that in terms of what they think of it.
A lot of moving parts to that, aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What about key upcoming events this week?
Well, we start the second round. I think that's always interesting. You know, will weather allow games to be played in the right order? That can change pitching matchups or different dynamics there. I always think it's interesting in softball, as we said earlier, when you start to see that girl in the circle and maybe you've only had three or four at bats against her. Well, now you're going to start to get up to that 6, 7, 8 at bats. Do you start to see the ball a little bit better? Does offense pick up in softball even a little bit more, even though it's been bigger this year than normal? Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting. And then in track, I think you just continue to follow. You know, I've had interesting comments with about two or three different track coaches, and they all have some different philosophies, but the one consistency you hear is about how you're trying to build up to run your very best on the right night. Mm-hmm. And you almost hope that you don't run too well too early. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people say in the past that, you know, so-and-so lost the state track meet by 1 week. You know what I mean? If they would have been able to run. Yeah, they just peaked a little too early. Or so. And that's fascinating to me, because I just don't have that background in that sport. But I think that's the thing to continue to watch is to see our times improving. If you like the sport well enough to really follow the athletes, I think I would look back through their meets and try to compare. Do you see times? Do you see distances improving in terms of their events? Because if so, I think that's a good thing. But if you see that they've capped off, according to a lot of the coaches I've talked to, that could be a kind of a red flag for them being in trouble.
Right. Well, hopefully next week when we return, Mr. Webb can join us and we'll be back all together again.
No question. I appreciate it, Bruce. I think it's really cool. We're going to try to really pick up our spring coverage. You know, we have the scoreboard out there. We have the stats that we get in where we highlight the kids each night in a box score. And we're going to continue to do our spring podcast here throughout the season. So I'm excited about it. We're certainly going to try to jump in and give the kids the media coverage they deserve. So until that next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes and at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.